Aren't you glad you're a Christian? All right, let's take a look at last week's memory verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. It was a kindergarten teacher who dreaded rainy days. The reason was because it meant she had about 20 pairs of galoshes to deal with. You know, those rubber rain boots. And it wasn't just once. Arriving at school, going out for recess, and then having to put them on again before going home, and it seems that they all needed help. Well, at the end of one of these days, as she gave one final tug on the last boot, the little boy remarked, "These aren't mine." She almost lost it, but took a deep breath, counted to 10 before she started to pull his feet out of the rubber boots. And the boy silently watched her take them off and then said, "They're my sister's, but Mom says I have to wear them today." I thought we could use a reminder on the quality of patience, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. This coronavirus situation is lingering on, and it's pretty easy to get impatient in general, but if we have others that we're quarantined with, it's easy to get irritated and lose patience with them as well. So, what are we talking about? The Oxford Dictionary defines patience as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. As it's been said, patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Looking at the New Testament, there are two words in the Greek for patience. One is dealing with difficult people, which is found 25 times in its various forms, and the other is dealing with difficult situations, which is found 49 times in its various forms. And it's always possible that I miss some. Well, Christians are obviously to exhibit both of them. Are you a patient person? Maybe you ought to ask your spouse or your children what they think. Patience is something we could probably all work on, at least in some area. Most of us are not born with this quality. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and is hungry or uncomfortable, what does it think? "You know, my parents are tired from all they did today, most of it for me, so I'll just be patient and wait for a more convenient time to let them know that I need something to eat or my diaper changed." Right? So, we're not born with it. And it doesn't help that we live in what has been called a fast food society. We like speed, we like efficiency, we like immediate gratification. I read that back in 2006, a website taking 4 seconds to load was considered acceptable. Today, if it takes longer than 1 second, man, we're on the phone complaining to our internet service provider. There's this old Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where his father is sitting at a computer and saying, "It used to be that if a client wanted something done in a week, it was considered a rush job, and he'd be lucky to get it. Now, with modems, faxes, and car phones, everybody wants everything instantly. Improved technology just increases expectations. These machines don't make life easier, they make life more harassed." And about that time, Calvin walks by looking at a TV dinner. "6 minutes to microwave this? Who's got that kind of time?" Now, I don't know if it's still around, but I remember reading about a church in Florida that advertises 22-minute worship services. They promise that in 22 minutes it'll all be over and you'll be out of there. And the sermons are limited to 8 minutes. Yeah, don't get your hopes up. Patience is difficult to develop because it's contrary to our culture. Now, you go to a third world country today and you'll find that they're much more laid back. And they probably wonder why we're so uptight and always on this fast track and in a rat race. And so, these expectations that come from our culture often cause our responses to be with frustration, aggravation, and exasperation as we feel the value of each second pressing on us. So I want to spend some time talking about this very difficult and yet very important quality. One question we need to answer, in what areas are we to have patience? I think there are four of them. First, we are to have patience with ourselves. Sometimes I wonder if we're harder on ourselves than God is. And some people, they're always beating themselves up. And some people get so frustrated that they're not where they want to be in their Christianity that they just give up. I know of some people who have quit going to church because they said it was too hard. As the saying goes, change is a process, not an event. Christianity is the process of changing from looking like the world to looking like Christ. Romans 8:29, 2 Corinthians 3:18, and so forth. It doesn't happen overnight. A Christian is someone who is not perfect, but is forgiven, and is now striving to become more like Jesus. The Apostle John said, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, even the apostles were not sinless. And so we need to have patience and should not be overly critical of ourselves when we fall short. But neither are we to become complacent and stop growing. Some people are obviously not hard enough on themselves. The New Testament has very harsh words for those who are not growing in their Christianity. For example, 1 Corinthians 3 verses 1 through 3, Hebrews chapter 5 verses 11 through 14. There is a balance. Next, we are to have patience with our fellow Christians. And at this time, I would add those with whom we are quarantined. The New Testament word that's speaking of patience with respect to other people literally means long temper. And sometimes you find it translated as long suffering. You see, you suffer long before you react. Simply put, it's having tolerance and putting up with people. The problem with our church family and our physical families is that they're made up of people. We can and do at times rub each other the wrong way. I'm going to irritate you, and you're going to irritate me. And sometimes I'm a pain. Sometimes I'm slow. None of us are a treat to be around all the time. We must learn to have long fuses and be patient with one another. With some people, it's always like walking on eggshells or treading on thin ice around them. But that's not the way Christians are to be. As you know, there are a number of passages that tell us to love one another. And according to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, love is patient. That's actually the first characteristic mentioned. And listen to what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." In order for there to be unity, there needs to be a lot of patience and tolerance. The worldly reaction is anger, resentment, bitter words, maybe even blows. But those who have this quality of patience, when they're wronged or irritated, have the power to just let them have it in one way or another, but they don't. Patience is not a sign of defeat or being a pushover, as some people think, but rather of victory and strength. It's easy to get upset and be short with someone. Anyone can do that. But patience takes a lot of self-control. We're also to have patience with non-Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14-15 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Now, we definitely need patience when they are bothering us or mistreating us. Christians are supposed to treat people better than they deserve. But we also need patience when trying to teach them. The goal for the non-Christian is that they will become a Christian. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Very few people accept the gospel, and for some, it takes a long time for them to come around to accepting it. You see, we're often quick to give up on people and write them off, but what about God? 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God puts up with the terrible ways people treat him because they may someday repent. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. And this would also apply to dealing with new Christians. With gentleness, we need to patiently show them the way. If we're too harsh with them, or we lose our temper with them, or just give up on them, well, they could leave and never come back. You think of a baby. You don't treat a baby the same as you do a teenager. And then we are to have patience with our difficult circumstances, like this quarantine. You all need to ask, am I easily set off when things are difficult or don't go my way? Or am I able to be patient and keep a godly disposition in the face of life's irritations? Now, some people today teach the gospel of health and wealth, sometimes called prosperity theology. It promises that living for Christ will turn this world into a bed of roses. It's the idea that if you're a faithful Christian, God will bless you with health, security, and prosperity. But the scriptures certainly don't teach that. They teach that this is a cursed earth and bad things are supposed to happen, even to God's people. Every character in the Bible went through difficulties. At times, it's going to get pretty rough. The question is, how are we going to respond during those times? Will we respond with patience or with frustration, or worse? In Paul's list of sins in Galatians 5, which he called deeds of the flesh, can you guess what's in there? Outbursts of anger. This is exploding with angry actions or words when things don't go our way. Many people are ruled by their feelings and can't seem to control their anger. As you know, some adults still throw temper tantrums. We need to learn to think and talk through our problems rather than losing control by yelling, slamming doors, punching walls, throwing things, kicking the cat, attacking people, and so forth. We have to discipline ourselves and our responses to the frustrations of life, which we're all going to have. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." You know, it can sure get us in a lot of trouble. As the saying goes, a moment of patience in a moment of anger can save you 100 moments of regret. So, how can we develop patience? I want to give you 5 quick suggestions that might help. One way, I think, is by realizing that we are going to go through difficulties and people are going to let us down. And so foreknowledge can help. Life isn't fair and no one is perfect. We are all going to let down and be let down from time to time, even by those close to us. I think realizing that beforehand and having that knowledge can help us to deal with it in a more Christ-like way when it comes. You're not taken off guard, you see. Just expect it. Another way is by simply going through difficulties and exercising it. It takes practice. The story is told of a young Christian who went to an older Christian for help. He said, "Will you please pray for me that I may be more patient?" So they knelt together and the old man began to pray. "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man..." Well, at that point, the young Christian blurted out, "No, no, I didn't ask for you to pray for tribulation. I wanted you to pray for patience." "Ah," responded the wise old Christian, "it's through tribulation that we learn patience." James 1. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." That's one of the 2 words for patience, and some versions translate it as that. Another way is to look at the example of Jesus, since he's to be our model. One thing we can look at is how he dealt with interruptions. For example, Mark chapter 5. He went to the country of the Gerasenes, and as soon as he got out of the boat, he was interrupted by a man with demons and had to deal with that. But then the people there told him to leave and go somewhere else, so he had to get back into the boat, and he crossed to the other side. A great multitude gathered to him, but a man named Jairus came and asked him to heal his daughter, and so he went off with him. But as he was going, a woman who had a hemorrhage touched him, and now he's interrupted from his interruptions, and it just kept going. But he was always so patient and thoughtful of others and their feelings. On top of that, we can look at the great patience Jesus had with his disciples. He just didn't get it at times. We can look at the patience he had with those who were caught in sin but wanted out. And we can even look at the patience he had with those who rejected and crucified him. Here's a question. Did Jesus ever lose control and hit someone? Could you ever call Jesus enough names to make him attack you? He could have called down fire on them or summoned 72,000 angels, as he said in Matthew 26:53. 1 Peter 2:23 says of Jesus' suffering, "And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." There are many times where we find that Jesus was silent while all kinds of false accusations and ridicule were being thrown at him. Another way is to remember that this world is not our home. James put it like this, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand," James 5, 7, and 8. Every Christian is to live in the hope of Christ's return. If we're convinced that this life is short and that our Lord will set things right concerning those who mistreat us and everything else, then we have a stimulus to hold out and not react by losing hope or retaliating or something like that. The coming of the Lord is motivation for Christians to endure whatever comes their way and to be patient until the day of his return. James offered the example of the dryland farmer who must wait for his harvest. The farmer obviously doesn't expect his harvest on the day that he plants. He has to work for a few months before he receives the fruit of his labor. It may be difficult, and he may suffer several disappointments before the harvest comes in, fighting with weather, weeds, birds, and bugs. But he doesn't plow up his field in anger or fire all the help or give up simply because things get difficult or don't go exactly the way he may want. If the farmer is to reap the fruit of his labor, he must exercise patience. So he patiently waits for both the early and late rains that provide what's needed for his crop. He patiently waits for the proper time. And for us, any difficulty we may go through and any mistreatment we may receive should not take us off track. We cannot allow suffering to provoke us to wrath toward others or to giving up on God. And so we need to strengthen our hearts, as James said. That's not talking about doing more cardio at the gym, although I think more Americans ought to do that as well. It means to toughen up our minds to endure whatever trouble comes our way. We need to have a fixed purpose and hold to that no matter what, like the farmer. Christians are to be stout-hearted, not faint-hearted. James believed that we could find this kind of strength of heart if we realize that the coming of the Lord is at hand. To be at hand could suggest that the Lord might come at any moment. When Jesus spoke of his return in Matthew 24, I believe he taught that we could expect it at any time after the fall of Jerusalem. And so every generation of Christian needs to be on the alert and watchful for that return. His coming is always at hand. On top of that, we never know when our personal lives will be over. And last but not least, we can pray and ask God for help when we start to feel impatient and irritable. You know, some people tell you to count to 10, do some deep breathing exercises, get some fresh air and sunlight, and eat some dark chocolate. That's not bad. I do those things sometimes. But I think it's better to take a moment to ask God for help. Look in your concordance and do your own study sometime on what the Bible says about the importance of prayer, as well as how much Jesus prayed. So, this week, let's really try to imitate the Lord in this quality of patience. We need patience with ourselves, with our fellow Christians, with non-Christians and in our difficult circumstances, like this quarantine. I know it's not easy, but with the Lord's help, I know you can do it.